So, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous running to, and I say, oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous running to, and I say, oh, blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, the name. The name of the Lord. Just running through. And they are saying, the name of the Lord is the strong tower. I just running through. And they are saying, they said, be his name, oh Father.
So he does things so he can encourage us. Amen. And we can encourage each other. Amen. You know, on Wednesday, I was at work and my boss, he took me into a meeting. Hi. And he blasted me. But I was so heartbroken. I was saying, hey, I wish I could go to church. Hi, Brother Andrew, Brother Max, if they can preach. I need to hear from the Lord. You know, but it was good. Because if the boss hadn't shouted at me, it would have been hard for me to leave. I was relaxing. The pastor used to say, you need to find a job. You need to find a job. Brother, look how they're putting more hours. Because now I'll be working some weeks where I won't come to church the whole week. So it's time to leave now, you see. So we praise the Lord. And we thank the Lord for our faithful Wednesday services. Where we come and we be fed and we give our requests and the Lord answers. Amen. Let's sing that song. In the closing day, our glorious, so powerful.
declaring, we are declaring. Oh, blessed. Soon or very soon is coming, it's come. Soon it's coming. Oh, we will come with victory. In May, oh, in May. Oh, I know it's coming soon.
Saints this evening. God bless you, Brax. Welcome back, brother. Let's open Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's come before the Lord this evening just to look to Him. Ezekiel 36. If you read the whole of Ezekiel 36, it's such a wonderful book of promises. It's the prophecy to Israel, how the Lord would restore them and bring them back from the desolations and all those kind of things. And he makes a lot of real wonderful promises. For example, if you read in verse 33, he says, "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left," that's verse 36, "that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." So the Lord gives all these wonderful promises of what he's going to do to his people, and what he has in his mind, his thoughts and his plan. But then he gives the key, which is our scripture, verse 37. He says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. So he takes all these wonderful promises that he's going to do. And we've seen it. We see Israel gathered back. We see the land blossoming. We see all those things. But the Lord, despite giving all the promises, he says in verse 37, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. So previous verse, he says, I'm going to do it. Then he puts it to us and he says, okay, now come and ask me to do it. Come and inquire of me to do it. I've given you the promise. I've shown you my will. But I'm asking for you to come and inquire of me to do it for you. And there's a real principle. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Father, your word is true. And how we know it in our own experience, Lord. How wonderful it is when, Lord, you come and you persuade us of your promises, Lord. And Father, you invite us to come to you. Father, to seek of you to do that which you desire to do. So won't you help us at this time and in these days that lay before, as we think of these meetings coming up before us, Lord. Father, we just desire the forerunner to come, the spirit of prayer, that, Lord, you may do what you have promised to do. We ask it, bless your word, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. So you find in Ezekiel 36, again, it's like we're speaking of the other week, about the fulfillment of the vision. This was the appointed time. Now, the appointed time had come for the Lord to favor the land of Israel once again. So, now it's amazing. He's speaking to his people. So, these are the right people. He's made it clear this is the right time. He's got them in the right place. You know, so everything's there ready for the Lord to really pour out his blessing. And there's only one thing that now hinders the fullness of what he, in his heart, desires to do. And that is, he says, you people, come now and inquire of me. Come and pray. Come and seek me to do this which I desire to do. So all the conditions were right. Everything was right on the divine side. Saints, let's shake ourselves a bit today. Let's not fall asleep at the beginning of service. Let's be together. Because, hey, don't you desire? You know, when the Lord's promises are so real, it's not a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to respond to the promises of God. No, inside of your soul, to shake off the way you feel, to shake off the fears of the day. And when the Lord's word is there, because he in his word, you can't separate God from his word. He is the word. And when you get in the spirit of the word, you're never going to be closer to God than when you get in the spirit of the word. Because when he reveals his word to you and he makes it real to your soul, that is so personal. That's not flesh and blood doing something for you. That's God himself drawing near to your soul to persuade you of what he wants to do for you. Our friends, what more could he do for you? But the important thing is you want to be like Israel were at that time. That when he drew near and made clear and made real to them what his desire was. And he said, come and ask me now to fulfill my promise. It's the time. You're in the right place. You're the right people. Amen. I want you now. Come and seek me to do it. Amen. Now, the very fact that he first sends something to the people to ask, to like stir them up, to ask him, is a sure sign that he wants to do the very thing that he's stirring them up to ask of him. So you find that God always sends something before the promise. So before he fulfills his promise, he sends the spirit of supplication. He sends the spirit of prayer. He always does that. You go through the scriptures, you go through church history, the prophet speaks of all the different revivals, the different things that God has done for his people, and the prophet says it always takes that kind of a condition before God will fulfill his promise. No matter how faithful he is to his promise, God is so faithful to his promise. God is so faithful in his desire to fulfill his promise. Now there's a deep in him, he desires to fulfill his promise. He desires to bless his people. We could take scriptures regarding youth. What does it say in In Zechariah, what does it say in those the minor prophets? He says, I will pour my spirit out. Yeah? The spirit of grace and supplication. And then we know all those prophecies. He says, I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. You see, and he says, the old man shall dream dreams and the young men shall prophesy. No, so you have all these promises that God gives. Like he did to them in the upper room. He gave them a promise, Jesus. But first he breathed upon them. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But they'd received it now in potential. They hadn't yet gone through the process to receive it. So the Lord now has to bring them to an upper room. And he has to pour upon them first the spirit of prayer. The spirit of supplication. There had to be a burden inside of them, a desire inside of them to see the fulfillment of the promise. Because no matter how rich and real his promises may be, if you and I don't stir ourselves up, and God is very wise in doing this, he has a reason for doing this. Now there's certain very important reasons why he says, before I can come and pour out my blessing upon you, you need to get into the spirit of prayer. You need to get into the spirit of travail. You need to come before me with an earnestness, with a burden inside of you to seek of me to bring forth the promise that I am quickening you to pray to me about. So the first thing that he does, he sends the quickening first. Before God comes and fulfills his promise, he sends the spirit of preparation. He sends the spirit of supplication, which is the spirit of prayer. The prophet calls it the spirit of travail. You know, before a woman can bring forth, she's got to travail first. Now, there's got to be labor. There's got to be a going through of a process. And that creates a condition that life can come forth. Amen. Now, that the seed that was in her that has been growing now to maturity, but it takes her to go through travail to bring forth that promise. And friends, that is the key to all of these kind of things. It doesn't need a majority. It doesn't need a lot of people. But you find before God blesses a people, before God pours out his spirit upon anybody or any place or any group of people, somebody has met the condition. Somebody's travailed. Somebody's travailed until Zion brings forth her children. Somebody has allowed the burden of the Lord to come upon them and they've responded to that burden in prayer. Somebody's stayed in a certain place that it's not an easy place to stay in. Friends, this kind of thing we're speaking about is not natural for the flesh. The natural man doesn't want these kind of things. The natural man wants all the theory and to speak of all the blessings in theory and to speak of all the great promises. But the spiritual man, the man inside of you, the soul inside of you, whenever God is about to visit his people or God is about to fulfill his promise, he first sends his anointing, he sends the spirit of his promise first to come and visit the souls of his people. He comes to stir his people up deep inside of your soul. He comes to bring a burden inside of you. He comes to bring something that you're not satisfied anymore with the current condition of things. He comes to make the promise real to you that you know, but Lord, your promise is so true, but I don't yet see this inside of my own life. But something is persuading me that at this time, you desire to fulfill this promise. Because why is this promise becoming so real to me? Why are you persuading me of this promise? Why is there a spirit of supplication coming upon me? Why can I have such a liberty to come and speak to you about this the promise? Why is it the more that I pray about this promise, the more real it's becoming to me? That is the spirit of prophecy that's upon you. God is prophesying through your prayer of what he's about to do. You see, and that is why the spirit of supplication, the spirit of travail, it's a prophecy of God's blessing that's about to come. That's why, friends, we have no reasonable grounds to expect God to bless this youth camp unless we get in the spirit of supplication. If none of us get in the spirit of supplication, if none of us have the burden and a reality inside of our souls and a spiritual quickening inside of us that God is going to bless these meetings, what grounds do we have? We just have a promise, but we don't have something to quicken the promise to us. How do we know that God wants to fulfill his word? The way we know God wants to fulfill his word is he sends forth the spirit upon his people to prepare his people, to make that real to his people before they actually get to the place that he fulfills his promise. It's always like that sense. And that's why we need to be careful Many people, we say, no, when I get to the camp, you know, I'll wait and people will create an atmosphere and that. How do you know it's going to be like that? You're going to rob yourself of 90% of the blessing by waiting to get there. Before you start getting in the spirit of prayer, before you start getting in the spirit of supplication, if you want this camp to be what God wants this camp to be, it's got to start now. It should already have started before now. It's got to be the spirit of supplication. If God is going to bless and He has a desire to bless, He will always come to quicken His people first. Because that is the way that He prepares His people for the blessing. You can't just go to the field and sow the seed when the field hasn't been prepared. God has to send something upon His people. And friends, it's prayer. It's this kind of prayer that prepares people for the blessing of God. And God will never pour out His full blessing upon people that haven't met this condition. That haven't got into travail, that haven't got into a depth and a burden and an earnestness to see God move, to see God fulfill His promise. You know, because you get what you expect. If you don't have an expectation now for the meetings next week, you're not going to receive anything because you're going to get what you expect. If somehow between now and the time we get there, we don't yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to allow that burden to come upon us. And like I say, the flesh is the enemy of that. Because He's going to want to burden you to say, no, don't sleep tonight. Get up, go down into the secret place. Go and shut yourself in the closet. Because there'll be a burden. There'll be a reality of something that's trying to persuade your soul. There's something that's trying to lead you into a certain channel. Something that's trying to lead you into a certain place of reality. It's a place of burden, a place where you want to take something and lay it before the Lord. But the flesh is going to tell you, no, you know, there's other things that you need to do. Now, your sleep and your rest and all the other things that you can put before it. But before God blesses His people, He always brings this burden upon His people. Amen. And people, when they respond to this burden, because we know the reason we should respond, like I say, is because that burden, that spirit of supplication is a proof. It's an evident token that God wants to fulfill His promise. You know, there's nothing as exciting as that inside of your spiritual life. When you start to feel that quickening inside of you, you get into the promises of God. You get into the Word of God. You start listening to the message of the hour. Something starts becoming so real. Something speaks to you and says, separate yourself. Separate yourself unto me at this time. And you yield, and the devil's going to counterattack, and he's going to try to bring all busyness, he's going to try to bring all other things to distract you and to get in the way, so you don't get any divine momentum. You know, so you don't really take that burden or that spirit of supplication, you know, deep into a certain channel where you become consistent in that place. But you just once in a while, you dip yourself and then you come out once again. That's not what the Lord wants it to be. He wants you, when that burden is starting to come upon you, when He's starting to draw near, like I said, the spirit of prophecy, that's prophecy that God's starting now to persuade you to believe. He's trying to make real to you the things that He wants to do for you. Friends, at that kind of a time, we need to lay aside everything else. Amen. Everything else has to become secondary. Everything else that is not absolutely necessary inside of your life at that time, lay it aside. Don't pay any attention to it. Just do the necessary things of life at that kind of a time to get the business of life, the things that need life to continue to function. Just do the bare minimum at that kind of a time. And the rest of the time, the rest of your strength, the rest of the resources that is given to you, use them to yield yourself to that spirit of supplication. Use them to allow that burden to come and settle upon you and yield yourself to that burden and start to pray and start to speak to the Lord and start to confess like Daniel did, like Nehemiah did. Start now to allow the Spirit to persuade you of the promise. And the more you yield unto it, the more you stay in that secret place of the Most High, the more that spirit of supplication takes a control, the deeper that burden becomes until when you wake up in the morning, you don't want to go and chat with other people. You don't want to get yourself involved in the natural affairs of life. You wanted to shut yourself in with the Lord. You wanted to be feeding upon His promises and speaking His promises back to Him. Because there's a burden. It's the spirit of supplication that the Lord brings upon his people as the preparation for the fullness of the blessing. So he sends first the spirit of supplication. It says that in Zechariah 12, when it speaks about him coming to the house of David, it says, "And I will pour upon the house of David," Zechariah 12, verse 10, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication." So before they can meet the Messiah, before Jesus comes and reveals himself that I got these wounds in the house of my friends, yeah? The first thing God's got to have to do is got to prepare the people. So what does he do? He sends the forerunner. He sends the prelude, yeah? You know, in the days gone by before the king would come, you know what he would do? He would send his herald before. And then you would find somebody coming all dressed and he's got the king's banner and he comes and he blows the trumpet. And you would come out of your house, come out of your business, come out of your home, and you would hear the trumpet, you would see the king's herald. When you heard and saw, you could see the way the man was dressed, hear the proclamation that he made, it was a proof that the king was coming. That the king wasn't far away, but he would always send the herald before him to get the people ready, to say, "Hey guys, the king is coming." And that is what the spirit of supplication is. God will always send something before he comes himself. He sends John. He sends the prophet in our age. He sends the spirit of Elijah. Because God has to prepare the people. So he sends the spirit of grace. He sends the spirit of supplication first. And friends, if you and I don't have a spirit of grace and supplication at this time, we need to start worrying. We need to start saying, what kind of camp is this going to be? Because God is not persuading us of his promises. God isn't preparing our souls for something that he wants to do for us. Friends, that's what we need to really lay upon our faces and say, "Please, Lord, no, send the rain, send the Spirit upon us. Send the spirit of supplication, Lord. Send it once again." But friends, he's so faithful. He never fails on this. He always keeps his part of the vision, but sometimes we get too busy in other things. But I would say, saints, that this should be the most important thing to any of us at this time as we look to these meetings that are coming up before us, to get the spirit of travail upon us, to get this burden of the Lord upon us so that we can start to speak to him. He says, "For this now will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." So the people could sense this is the season. God wants to do something for us. But the Lord says, "Okay, first, I will pour the Spirit upon you so that you'll come and inquire of me." So you'll come with an earnestness, that you'll come with a deep desire, that you'll come with a deep sincerity to seek of me to fulfill the promise that I desire to fulfill. Oh, friends, it's not enough for God just to desire to fulfill the promise. He wants to see how much do you want the promise. Are you really earnest about this? Do you desire a spiritual blessing for God to bless his people at this camp more than you love your job, more than you love your studies, more than you love the conversation of other people? He's going to put us to the test. He's going to send the Spirit to us and he's going to start to stir us up. And then he's going to see, but how are the people going to respond? Are they going to yield to the Spirit? Are they going to separate themselves and lay them aside? Are they going to get their priorities right and put my kingdom first at this time? Are people going to seek to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done" at this kind of a time? Our friends, that's the only way. You know, that's the only way. God never can pour out the fullness of his blessing until people have met this kind of a condition. That's why he has to send them to the upper room for 10 days of prayer. He first quickens them in prayer. He first sends this forerunner before and he quickens them to the promise. And each day they're yielding themselves and the promise is becoming more real. And that spirit of substance is upon them now. They know that something's about to come. The promise is about to be fulfilled because they've already got an earnest of the promise. They've got the spirit of supplication. They've got the spirit that is persuading them to say, "Come and seek of me. Now is the time. I'll pour my spirit upon you, but come and seek me to do it." And then they got into such a place and God came and fulfilled the fullness of his promise. Amen. Friends, it's a serious thing. Let's not put it on anybody else. Let me not say to you that it's your responsibility. This is my responsibility. You don't say to me that it's my responsibility. You say that it's your responsibility. Let each and every one of us here that has a heart for the kingdom of God, take this personally upon ourselves. We don't need a multitude of people in order for God to move, in order for God to pour out His blessing. It just takes one or two consecrated people. One or two people that will be willing, like Daniel Nash, to lay themselves aside and allow the burden of the Lord to come upon them. And then they will speak to the Lord in groanings and prayers from within the travail of their souls. And God now can fulfill the desire that he has inside of His own heart to fulfill at that time. But let's not enter into these meetings as natural people, friends. None of us want that. We don't want to go there. And we've been so busy in Facebook, so busy in Twitter, so busy in vain conversation, vain fellowship. The things we've been reading have got nothing to do with the promises. The things we've been spending our time on have been nothing to do. They don't correlate in any way with the desire that God has for us at this time. And then we're going to get to the camp and we're going to think there's going to be some great pouring out of the Holy Ghost. It's not going to work. God always has to prepare His people first. And the way He prepares us is by giving us the spirit of prayer, the spirit of travail. He starts giving us a spirit, a burden inside that we want to see the promises of God fulfilled. And that is the way that God always works. Look at the scripture that we know the scripture the prophet uses, Isaiah 66 verse 8. This is the scripture the prophet always speaks about when he speaks of this principle. Isaiah 66 verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? This is speaking of the rebirth of Israel, yeah? In one day. Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It's always like that. Zion is the bride. She's got to travail to bring forth children. In order for us to bring forth the children of God at this camp, Saint Zion has to travail. Amen. Someone in Zion's got to get the burden, has got to get the spirit of travail upon them. Because it's only when Zion travails that she brings forth of her children. And friends, any Christian, I will testify of that inside of their own personal experience. Whenever God has given you a great blessing, there was always a deep preparation. There was always a deep sincerity. There was always a deep repentance. There was always a deep, earnest seeking of God before that. And that didn't originate from you. That originated from Him. He put that spirit upon you to prepare you so that He could come and pour out the fullness of the blessing upon you. It never fails. But so many times we grieve away the spirit of travail. Just when He's trying to get a hold, He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to yield and respond to Him. How many times we grieve Him away by not listening to Him, by not yielding and obeying Him and giving preeminence to the influence that He's trying to put upon us. And instead we get ourselves busy in all the other things, and they may be natural things, they may be harmless things, they may be legitimate things. But in certain seasons, friends, what is legitimate before is not legitimate at that time. When you before, maybe you could concentrate on your studies before your exams. That's wonderful. There's times you've got to do that. But there's other seasons where God draws near to you and says, it's time for Zion to travail. At that time, we don't have any excuse to pay attention to the other things. We do the bare minimum. And the rest of the time, the rest of our resources, the rest of the spiritual energy that is ministering to us at that time, we use it to come before Him, to inquire of Him, to bring forth His promise. We speak to Him about the very thing that He's making real to us. We speak to Him about the very thing that He's leading us into the channel of. We just keep bringing His promise to Him. But when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It's like, now the prophet says that an inside man, we know this quote. He says, you know what I think would be the greatest need of the church today? Where I think the lacking is no soul travail. Soul travail, you can't work it up yourself. God gives you soul travail when He wants to bless His people. It's the spirit of grace, it's the spirit of supplication that draws near. It's the herald of the promises of the King. The King is about to do something, so He sends something before to declare to your soul that the King wants to do something. Prepare yourself for the visitation of the king. And the prophet says, Saul travail. He says, the people are not broken up enough. There's no burden seemingly. Ah, friends, we need a burden. We need to be burdened about the meetings that are coming up. What is a burden? It's a depth, it's a weight inside of your soul. Your flesh will be burdened about other things. Your flesh will be burdened because you're burdened. Your flesh won't like it. But there's a burden, there's a certain spiritual depth and reality. There's a certain something that keeps calling you to a certain type of prayer. There's a certain something inside of yourself, like Paul says in Romans, that you can't express in words. You can't seem to find the right words to express the way that you're feeling at that time. And that's what Paul says, that now is the intercession of the Spirit inside of you. He's burdened, he's groaning, he's wanting to speak through his people. He's wanting to travail inside of Zion so that Zion can bring forth her children. But friends, you've got to be sensitive at those kind of times. You've got to lay aside food and drink at times. You've got to lay aside necessary things that were necessary at other times. But at that time, you say, Lord, this is not necessary. This burden and this desire, and for me to enter into the spiritual channel, into this place that you're calling me to at this time, this is far more necessary than anything else. So the prophet says, there's no burden seemingly. He says, you give me someone that's just so torn up about lost souls. Yeah? Someone wanting a revival so bad till they can hardly eat. If you read the history of the world and religious history, you'll find out it always taken that kind of a spirit to bring revival. Why? Because if God brings us revival when we're in the flesh, we get proud and we get arrogant and we think we did something. And the revival doesn't help us. It doesn't help our brethren around us because we'll start saying, we have the revival, you don't. That's why the Lord says, before I bring revival, I want to bring soul travail. I want my people in the dust. I want my people on their faces. I want my people to be humbling themselves. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's the promise of the Lord. But when you're in soul travail, it purifies you. It prepares you. It takes out the roots and it takes out the weeds and it takes out the fallow ground, and you're breaking up that fallow ground. Now you become fertile soil. You yielded, you submissive, you subdued. The conditions inside of you now are ripe for revival. Now he can sow his seed. Now he can pour forth his rain, and it's going to bring forth of its own kind. And it's not going to damage you, but it's going to be a blessing to you, and it's going to be a blessing to other people. That's why God has tied these two things together. Before he comes to bless, he wants to get his people in prayer. He wants to get his people in travail. He wants to pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon his people, because it prepares you, puts you in the right condition for when the promise comes. Then the promise will be a blessing to you and other people. It won't be a hindrance to other people. And you think of when Zion travails, she brings forth her children. The Lord is wise, friends. You know it in your own experience. When you are carnal and you're dry, yeah, and you're not in prayer, you don't get many opportunities to testify to people. But start getting a burden and start getting in travail. The Lord starts bringing opportunities for you to speak to people. Why? Because why should he deliver his sons and daughters into your hands until you've got soul travail? Because Zion must first travail, then God can entrust you with his children. Because now you've got the right conditions. You're not going to be a big shot and say, look how many people I brought to the Lord. But now you're going to be laying on your face, and you're going to be in the right spirit, the right condition to help those children to come also to travail themselves. Amen. Our friends, these things always go together. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Amen. And between now and Wednesday, when we start the meetings, friends, we need people to travail. It's a call to travail. It's a call for supplication. It's a call to yield to the spirit of prophecy that God wants to bring upon each and every one of us as a forerunner of this blessing that he wants to bring. But if we don't stir ourselves, if we don't allow this burden to come upon us, friends, it'll just become meetings. It'll just be meetings. We'll just come to the end of the campus. You know, those are good meetings. You know, the ministers preached well. You know, it was nice to meet other people. But you'll feel inside of your soul, we missed what God really wanted us to have. Amen. How many times have you felt that inside of your life? When you've accepted second best. When God had something better for you. But because you never yield yourself to the spirit of preparation, you never yield yourself, and God came with the visit before the visit. Oh, friends, we don't want it to be like that. I'm sure you don't want it to be like that. And it's not too late now. It can start now. And if the spirit of travail and supplication will come as we pray now, and we go from here, and then we get to our homes tonight, and we continue in travail, and we get up tomorrow, do whatever we need to do, but we shut ourselves in with God. We seek His face. We allow the spirit to start to groan and to speak in prayer inside of us. And then we come to church on Sunday, but it's not just another coming to church on Sunday. We're getting up earlier with an expectation and a prayer, and we're coming on time, and we're sitting in the quietness of things, and we're seeking His face. And then after service on Sunday, we're going back. We're not going to go and get involved in Euro 2016 and all these other things, but we're going to go and get ourselves in the Word. Get ourselves in fellowship. Team up. Have a brother or a sister who's your prayer partner. Make a covenant of prayer with other people. Getting up on Monday. Laying aside food and drink and seeking His face, friends. I guarantee you it's going to be a great blessing. It's going to be a great blessing. Because it's already a great blessing. The blessing's already in you. The revival's already started in you. Now you're just waiting to see the fullness of what the spirit of prophecy in you, the former rain that's inside of you, now you're waiting to see the latter rain when you get there. Then you'll come under an expectation to the camp, because God has already started working. God has already started to do His will inside of you before you get there. That's how the prophet says it takes that kind of spirit to bring a revival. You see, when Zion travailed, she brought forth children. You have to be torn up, because it's the atmosphere of anything. So God has the appointed time, the appointed place, the appointed people, but the people have to get into a certain atmosphere. And that's an atmosphere, first, that starts in the hearts of His people. That's an atmosphere you create inside of your own heart by plowing up that fallow ground, by getting torn and broken up, by yielding and submitting yourself to Him when He draws near and starts to speak to you. Let's just take a couple more quotes and we'll pray. He says, this is in the message, the resurrection. He says, I still believe that Miami can be turned upside down for God. Amen. But what it's going to take, he says, it's faithful few that is sitting here this afternoon with such a hunger to do that or to see that until you can't sleep or eat. When the travail of soul comes upon a person, hallelujah, Zion will bring forth children. That's for sure. When you get to that kind of a place, we're going to get somewhere. Yeah. He says, it doesn't take everybody. He says, just the faithful few that are here. It was like an afternoon meeting, Saturday afternoon meeting, and he didn't have many people there. He says, but just this faithful few here that are hungering and thirsting to see God move. He says, if you can just get travail of soul, it's going to take place. You'll see God fulfill His promise. He says, in desperation, he says, we find James 5:15. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer. He says, that's desperation. An effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When a righteous man, a good man or a good woman, gets in travail, soul travail. When a soul gets in desperation, in travailing, an effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man showing the token, it does something. Ah, friends, something's going to move. Hallelujah. Something's going to break. Now, your prayer will cause the Holy Ghost to come upon somebody that came there maybe unconcerned. But your petition, taking the token with a spirit of travail, with an earnestness, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, an earnestness, a burden, a desire. You want to see God more than you want to eat food. You want to see God more than you want to drink. You want Him more than you want anything else. Friends, you're going to see something. And you know it from your own experience. Anybody who's a believer, it never fails. Because even to have that desire, even to have that burden, it's the work of God in you. He's the one who has to start the work. And you simply have entered into a channel that He wants you to move in. And just be careful and walk carefully and continue to walk inside of that channel and get the burden upon you and start interceding for your children that will be there. Start praying with travail for the ministers that will minister there. Start praying and interceding for the officers that will be doing the arrangements for these things, that natural things won't get in the way of the spiritual agenda that God has. But that there will be a breakthrough of the spiritual powers and principalities that were designed to frustrate the purposes of the children of God, as He tried in the days of Daniel, 21 days. We know those kind of things. But now is the time we can break those powers. We can break through the spiritual principalities. Now is the time we can bind the strong man. We can bind the evil one. Now is the time we can clear the heavenly places so that God can rain His blessings down. But it starts when His people pray. And now we'll pray tonight. We won't pray so much because this isn't the real prayer. This is just to get ourselves started. This is like first gear. The second, third, fourth, fifth gear goes is when we go from here. When we have time tomorrow and Sunday morning and Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday when we wake up. And when we get to the camp and we get up and come for prayer meeting, that we're not just there on the phone and talking other things, but we've come with an agenda. We've come, we want to hear from God. We want to meet God. We want something to happen to us that will never be the same. Oh, friends, they that come hungry will never go away hungry. I'll just read one more scripture here to show this kind of a condition. We know it, Luke 2, verse 25. Let's just read it in this context once again before we come to a time of prayer. Luke 2, 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Yeah? He was waiting to see the promise, and the promise was real to him. Because the time had come, the appointed time had come. The Messiah was already born at this time. He was waiting. It says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's the spirit of travail. That's the spirit of supplication was already upon him. There was something that was telling him before the event what was going to happen. Look at the next verse. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Ah, friends, this man, when he came to the temple, he didn't come just to say, let me go and see who else is there. He came with an expectation because the Holy Ghost was something had already told him, you're going to see the Christ one of these days. And each day when he had come, and especially that day when he came, there was a special something, there was a special deep, there was a special burden inside of him that he felt today, something's going to take place as sure as the world. That's how you want to be coming to the camp. Amen. You want to have that spirit of expectation so real that God has already declared His promise to you. Amen. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Amen. That's why you will know ahead of time that God is going to bless. Amen. That's how Daniel Nash, when he spoke about it, that's when he had pray and travail and he had come and say to Charles Finney, Brother Finney, it's going to be all right. God's going to meet us tonight. The battle had already been won in travail. He knew he had the spirit of prophecy, something, the spirit of consolation was upon him already. Something the Holy Ghost had already told him, I'll be with you. Our friends, don't you want that reassurance before we go? Surely we don't want to wait until we get there and start praying for it when we're there. Is that not going to be a waste of great resources, great opportunity? Maybe by the time you get to Saturday night, we'll start to get some blessing. Is it not better we start now? And we keep praying from now and encouraging one another and provoking one another until good works. So by the time we get on Wednesday, the battle's already won. We're just entering into the battlefield now to possess the spoils of battle. Because battle is won in prayer. Ah, friends, we need it. That's what it says. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Yeah? Is that not what you want to do? Don't you want to come by the Spirit to the camp? Or are you coming to the camp to seek the Spirit? Is it not better you come moved by the Spirit to come to the camp, our friends? That's when there's a blessing. That's an absolute guaranteed blessing when you're in that kind of a condition. Because you're already blessed. The Spirit of blessing is already upon you. The Spirit of promise has already declared to you, you're going to receive the promise. And you know it, it's a substance. Just as much as Simeon came in when the parents brought him. Verse 28, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He wasn't surprised. That's what he was waiting for. He knew that was coming. That was the promise. And at the same time, verse 36, just to show these sisters as well, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Issachar. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. It had become a momentum inside of her. It wasn't a once in a while visitation. The spirit of supplication, the burden came upon her and she stayed there until it became normal for her. Until it became a momentum, a continuity of spiritual leadership, spiritual experience. And she stayed in the temple. She departed not night and day. Oh, I'm saying to our Annas today, please, we need Annas before we go for this camp. We need people that will not depart from his presence, that will not depart from the spirit of prayer. Even you got to go and do your ironing. Be in supplication while you're doing your ironing. Even while you're on the bus going wherever you need to be, be bringing your supplication before the Lord. Let the Lord be speaking to your soul of the needs of these saints, these souls that will be there that need a visitation of Christ to their soul. They need a spiritual reality. She departed not, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. In verse 38, and she, coming in that instant, amazing, she had the Spirit upon her. When she came to the temple, she already, the job was already done. The victory had long been won. She's now just entering in to see the fullness of the promise. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Ah, friends, that's where we want to be. So I'm really, really asking saints tonight, let's have a covenant among ourselves, a covenant of prayer. Let this be the starting point if you haven't already started. Let this be the beginning now. Satan's going to fight you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to pull you to the left hand or to the right. But like the Lord said to Joshua, do not turn to the left hand or to the right. Just keep your face towards him, towards the promise. And just let the promise become more and more real. And let prayer become more and more real. And let it become a supplication. And let the supplication become a burden. And let the burden continue to work upon you until it becomes a travail of soul. Until you are lay before the Lord and not even know the words to say. That there's just a groaning inside of yourself. You don't even know how to express that feeling that's deep inside of your bosom. Friend, something's going to take place. As sure as the world, because it's already taken place. It's already taken place. There's already been an overcoming. There's already been a victory, which is just a forerunner, a foretaste of the full victory that's about to come. So let's come to prayer this evening, saints. Let's bring these petitions before the Lord for all the arrangements for the camp. Friends, we need grace in transport. We don't want people to be stopped at the border. We don't want those kind of things, complications when saints are being so kind to help with transport with their cars and so forth. We don't want mechanical problems. We can pray and we can refuse them now. We can say no flat tires, no mechanical problems, no distractions can come in the way. We can overcome now. We can clear the way until everybody enters into the victory after that. We can pray for success of all the instruments, the electronic things that sometimes plague us and bother us. We can say now, no. We can get into the spirit of prayer and supplication. We can drive back the enemy. And any other spirit of unbelief, any other spirit of uncleanness, any other spirit of division, whatever else it would be. Friends, we can wrestle in prayer now against those powers and those principalities, and we can say no. This is now the heritage of the sons and daughters of God. And we can create an atmosphere now, and we can project an atmosphere into the future by the spirit of prophecy that's upon you, the spirit of travail. And you just keep on and just keep on coming before the throne of grace, and the Holy Ghost just keeps burdening you and leading you, and you praying now. Ah, friends. And then we get there that day, and we just wait and see the results of supplication. We just see the results of the spirit of grace. And then we come back from there bearing precious sheaves. And we're not puffed up because we've been in the spirit of travail. We've been down in the dust. We've been right down there in travail before the Lord. And we're coming back in all humility. And we're just giving praise to the King for the gracious visitation of his herald before us, the spirit of prayer, and then the visitation of the King himself. Ah, friends, that's what we desire. If we have anything less, we're going to be disappointed, aren't we? We don't want it. But let's come to a time of prayer. Let's come and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's put all these petitions. Let's stand, saints. Let's pray straight away. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's put all of the transport arrangements before the Lord, all the accommodation arrangements. Let's put all of the traveling of the saints coming from different places. Let's put the ministers before the Lord. Let's put everything that the Lord lays upon your heart before the Lord. Let's start now. Let's keep it going until we get there and keep it going right through the meetings so that He might be glorified. Let's all seek the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do bring it before you.